OMG, we have something so exciting to be talking about today. We're going to go deep into two of the six video profit levers that Luis Cameo from The Business Bros was talking to us about last week in last week's episode. So if you did not catch that, go and watch that right now because it outlines literally the six video profit levers, i.e. these are the levers that you need to A, know about, and then B, pull,
yes.
use. Yeah, you pull a lever,
pull
right?
Levers. Yeah. Yeah.
To pull, to actually make money from your content. Okay, this is the, when we talk about winning the content game, like this is the end result that we want for each and every one of you and us as well. We're creating content not because, I mean, yeah, we might love creating content.
Yeah, and if you saw Bonner's face, if you're watching this on YouTube, then you'll know that
that was questionable.
May is the word.
We may love creating content, or, you know, some of us start really enjoying it, and then after a while it's like, gosh, how do we keep coming up with new content? How do
feels
we,
like a chore.
It yes. does start to feel like a chore. So, you know, so yeah, we start, it's a labor of love, let's just say. Which means that we want this labor of love to actually create results for us. And what that means is...
Sorry, you love me?
Because I felt like you missed the opportunity to say to birth results.
Oh, I thought that's where you were going. I had my smile ready and you said something like produce.
Great.
Which still makes sense.
Great, yeah, but great. You're right. I should have said birth. I apologize. Let's rewind. From this labor of love... We want to birth results. Is that, yeah? Okay, good. We want to birth results. And that for us entrepreneurs is getting visibility,
mm-hmm.
getting leads
yes.
from that visibility, and then getting clients, which means money.
Yes.
Right? Like that's how we always think about it. Is our content able to get us visible, get us leads, get us clients? That's what we're talking about. And so in last week's episode, Luis went through literally the six levers and he went deep into two of them. So what we're going to do in today's episode is we're going to talk about how we are implementing those two levers that he went deep into. And in next week's episode, we're going to get Luis back on and he's going to go into the rest of the four profit levers. So this is super exciting. If you didn't know, my name is Deidre Shen. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Capture. And I have with me my, I don't even know how to describe you anymore. My,
what do you mean anymore?
Have things changed?
Are we having a live breakup on YouTube?
They may have.
No, my better, you're not really, you're like my
you're
better
not
half.
Really my better half.
But like not in
not
the,
really.
Not in the
better kind of way.
Definitely not in the romantic sense. I feel like people sometimes get that confused. They may think that we're... Anyway, we won't go there.
There might be something going on there.
Yeah,
yes,
but
we
won't go there.
And we never correct them. So it's on us.
It's a lot of fun to not correct people. Anyway, Bonner is here with me. You are my co-founder.
I am, yes.
With Capture. And really the main implementer, which is why these episodes, it's really good to have Bonner on because she's actually like doing it. She's actually playing the game. And she's playing it with you, alongside yes. with you. So this is really cool. All right. So let's get into the first two profit levers that Luis was talking about in last week's episode. So the first is all about what to say.
Mm.
Okay. So this is like a lot of us, if we love creating content, we probably don't have too much of an issue with this part, right? We just turn the mic on and we just start talking.
Mm.
And sometimes we say things like birth.
Don't say. We missed the opportunity to say.
That is right. That is right. Yeah. but for some others of us, and I've definitely personally gone through this where, you know, at one point I love creating content and then it just started, we spoke about this late last year as part of the Grow My Podcast show where there was just this period of time where I felt creatively tapped out.
Yes.
And if I turn the mic on, I just had no idea what to talk about.
Mm.
And so I think knowing the principles of this part of this first lever, i.e. what to say, is actually really important regardless of where you are in your journey, whether you're still loving content or whether you're not. Because if you're still loving content, awesome. But there may come a point just like I went through where you're kind of feeling a little bit of a loss as to what it is that you want to talk about and what it is that your audience actually wants to hear from you.
Mm. And I love that this is actually the first one because when Luis first sort of had mentioned the idea of profit levers, it's so easy to sort of not,
I mean, not think about content create or the creation part of it as a profit lever. Maybe that's just myself, but you start thinking about all the conversion sides of it. But really, this is where it starts, and this is where it needs to. You have to remember that the first step kind of has to set everything up in a way that you can actually, you know, do what it needs. It can actually do what it needs to do.
Yeah, for sure. Which is why some of the questions or some of the ideas that Luis was throwing around in last week's episode, you know, it's like, what is that one solution you're actually providing with each piece of content? It's actually really important to think about, because a lot of times I don't think about, oh, like what is for this one episode, what is it that we want our audience to go away and be able to grab hold of or implement, or at least just even change or challenge them to think about things differently.
That's a really good frame, actually. Yeah. It doesn't always have to be something they can do. It's almost like, how do they think about something differently as well? That's a really good point.
Yeah. And also, you know, what is the style? I think a lot of us, you know, we can go down the education path, but I think more and more we're doing actually both education and entertainment. Like, I would hazard guess that everyone listening to this, watching this, you're probably doing both, to be honest, because let's be completely honest. If you're not entertaining someone, even if you're educating them, I don't think people are going to stick around very long.
I agree. Because especially with attention spans.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So what we want to do is we want to overlay how we think about content creation to this particular lever that Luis was talking about. And for anyone who watched Facebook Live that I did, a few weeks ago, I spoke about the three content superpowers. Let's call it the three humane, as in human with an AI. Get it? Humane.
We'll type it out as well for YouTube.
Just so you can see it. Yep. The three humane content superpowers. And I think this is really important, because depending on when you know, there's so much power in clarity, right? And when you have clarity in your approach to and your superpower, like actually what it is that you're good at in terms of how you approach content, it makes this part, like the what to say part, so much easier. So we're going to step through the three content superpowers. And by the way, we will leave in the show notes a really short and fun quiz that you can do to work out which superpower you have if you're unsure. And some people have done the quiz and been surprised by their results. Also because I don't think they're thinking about it in this way. So I really, really want to encourage you. Well, we're going to lay out the three and then kind of how, depending on which superpower you have, how you actually think about approach the content that you're going to create, i.e. what to say. Is that cool?
Yes, sounds great.
All right, awesome. So I'm going to start with the expert. Let's start with the expert. Yeah. Actually, a lot of people who did the quiz got expert as their result. And the expert is kind of self-explanatory. You're the one who is sharing your expertise, your knowledge, your stories. And this, the expert, I feel sometimes when they are creating, especially a podcast, I would say, because we get so, it's so typical, I guess it's more typical, I should say, that a lot of podcasts are guest podcasts.
I see. Yep. The format is more such that you bring on guests.
And what, if you are the expert and you vibe with as being the expert, then I would highly, highly encourage that you start to move away from having a guest podcast or interview podcast, I should say. Not to say that you don't have to have any interviews at all, but if you are the expert, you really want your expertise to shine. And I know that some people, they get guests on and they do the interview and it's their way, then they kind of like cut in and because they want their, and I'm just going to say, like, those are really, really uncomfortable to listen to and even to be part of, because I've been part of some podcast. I've been a guest on some of those podcasts where, you know, the interviewer is like kind of trying to jump in to get their expertise across. And it's not really a great
experience
for anyone involved,
Listener.
Which is why, which is why I would really encourage you, like, if you are the expert, to think about just creating your own content for your, whatever it is, a podcast, YouTube channel, you know, where it's just you, where it's just you sharing your expertise. Now, how do you come up with what to say when you're an expert? So Luis had some really, really great examples of things that he thinks about. Things like, you know, what are some outlier topics? And when he says outlier, this means topics that in some way you have tested and really, really resonates. Okay, so he mentioned again, like doing reels and clips and shorts and things like that based like very, very specific on very specific, like deep topics, mm-hmm. I guess, like, mm-hmm. you know, where you go deep into something. And then if those reels or that content does really well, then it's like, you know, yeah. okay, that's something that I should talk more about.
Yes. I think another way of identifying those as well is if you're not huge on social, which a lot of you should be, but, you know, I guess doing more of these listening posts, which is a really mm. great way to do it. But it's also like if you have an email list where you're getting the most replies or engagement from people,
yes.
or if you're doing things like virtual summits or presentations, which are almost like the, when you get feedback or questions.
Yes.
When people say, oh, when you said this, this was really, you know, can you tell me a little bit more about that? Or so kind of testing it in all different aspects, I think. And just noting those down, because I think we don't do that very well. We remember it at the time and then we don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
You're like, hang on, that's a whole idea for maybe a series, even a content series.
That is so true. And just to tie it back to, you know, last month on Win the Content Game, we actually had Katie Brinkley on mm-hmm. talking about social media. And when she spoke about the awareness post and, you know, for example, you're doing polls on LinkedIn, maybe even on Instagram, you're kind of doing a call out on Facebook. Like that is actually really, really great way to figure out what some outlier topics are.
Yep.
Because you might be surprised. You ask a poll, you think that you have a hypothesis about what the majority of people are, how they're going to respond to that.
Yes.
And you may be surprised and it's like, hey, great. This is actually good content yep. for something else that you create. So,
and it works the other way too. I think if you do enough of these regularly enough, you'll start to see the ones that don't perform as well. And you're like, well, I guess that whole series or that whole campaign I had yeah. based around that, maybe I'll park that for now
yes.
because it's actually this that I should be focusing on. And that's also you kind of avoiding work that you otherwise would have put a lot of effort into firstly. And then secondly, you don't get the results. You don't birth the results. The labor's been for nothing. And then you can kind of start to resent creation, right?
Yeah.
So that's the other part to think about as well.
Yeah.
Be more intelligent.
And the great thing about like even like approaching, looking at the way that you engage with your audience in all facets. So whether that's on like a reel through social media, whether that's through email, whether that's through polls on social media, like literally in any way, that is going to inform not only your content, but I would actually say what it is that you sell and what it is that you offer.
Yes.
Because an example even that we were talking about this morning was like, we've done a few challenges on yes. different topics. You know, we did one with Katie last year on social media. We did a LinkedIn challenge. We did an email challenge. We're about to do an SEO challenge. And it's really, really interesting to see what the registration rates look like. And therefore, what it is that people actually want to know more about. And for us here at Capture, I don't know when the timing of this be, but I would hazard a guess that we are close to, if not have just launched Capture Next Gen as part of Capture Club.
Yes.
So we completely rebuilt. Oh, we'll have to do a separate episode on this.
We have to.
I think we'll do.
At least one.
Yeah.
Maybe more than one. Yeah.
So maybe in a couple of weeks' time, we'll do an episode specifically on this whole rebuild of Capture. Like why... what, like all of the things, we'll break it down.
Make that three episodes, actually. Yeah. Three-part series.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is that given the demand, I guess, for a demand.
The demand?
Demand.
Demand. Whatever you feel more comfortable saying.
In the moment, right. For each of these, like a specific topic,
yeah.
It's actually what drove us to, with our roadmap.
Mm.
For Capture Next Gen mm-hmm. around what it is that we're going to drop and when. So I think that the core here is how do you listen to your audience for all facets of your business, but especially for your content, right? So if you're an expert, look for outlier topics, i.e. the ones that people are like, oh my gosh, I want more of this. I want to hear you talk more about this stuff. Another example that Louise gave was like polarizing topics, which for us, like, I mean, and he very nicely gave an example specifically for us at here at Capture, but it is like views on AI.
Yeah.
Because I do have, and I know that there are some, and I've got friends, this is a little bit awkward, but I have friends who are building solutions with AI that I don't necessarily agree with. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's fine. We're still friends, but like it just makes it a little bit more awkward because my views on AI is very different and can be polarizing
yep.
in that way,
yep.
you know? So I think that would be a good topic for me, definitely as I lean more and more into the expert, you know, content superpower for me to talk about more.
I think a couple of things there. I think it's the whole thing about not, that Louise spoke about was also not to be afraid of polarizing topic because you're not trying to be contrarian just for the sake of it. Mm. And you're not trying to be a polarizing person.
Yes.
You just have a different viewpoint.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like we all know, the sign of an involved community and involved, you know, group of people is that they can entertain different views and you don't have to walk away with the exact same view. But I think we do also have to be, especially with topics like AI, have to be very concerned about living in an echo chamber. So in the same way that if you do have a polarizing view on something, it's about bringing it into the conversation so that you can also entertain another potentially different and polarizing view as well to make you even more of an expert.
Yes.
Because then I think that makes your point of view stronger anyway.
Yeah.
And the other thing that you mentioned as well, and when you do this quiz that we'll leave in the show notes, please you'll figure this out as well. You can be a blend of the different content superpowers as well. So I would definitely say that you're a bit of a blend, although you have a very strong lens on one of them. You know, stay tuned to find out what that is. But, you know, like we are multidimensional. So we have these different, again, like within that also different sides that we can, you know, emphasize and really bring to the content creation process as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, why don't we go into that? The one that I predominantly am, the type of superpower that I have, which is, we call it the curator. And the curator really is where I get juiced by finding, like by discovering, you know, really cool people who have such a deep expertise in something as part of an overall framework that I can see that my audience just needs to know and needs to learn. And the cool thing about being a curator is like, I don't know, it's a lot of fun because you get to like meet, you know, all these different people. And I'm such a nerd about the things that I love. And it's so cool to meet other nerds that like really love what it is that they do. Yep. And it's so much fun. And so the way that I approach it, if we talk about if you're a curator, and this is where definitely, you know, you can have, it makes sense to have maybe more of an interview based podcast or YouTube channel, is that you really want to almost curate the topics first. You know, so for me, I put a lot of thought into the frameworks. So scale sandwich, for example, you know, if anyone did that 10-part email, you know, lesson with us where I actually stepped through each of the part of the scale sandwich. And what was really cool was that at Capshavians Live, which was our live event we had in Orlando in January, it was all about this framework. And each of the speakers actually spoke to one specific component of that framework. And the feedback from everyone about how that the agenda was set up, how that the whole event was set up was so mind-blowingly amazing. Mm. Because, I mean, I did put a lot of work into curating the right people to come and talk about the things that I know will actually get results.
Mm, the right people, and to your point, because you thought about the topics first, sort of the order in which they would speak and how one would flow into the next, even though they didn't realize that was happening.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of power in that.
Yeah, for sure. And the great thing about, so basically, in short, if you are a curator, you really want to come up with the topics first and then you find your guests. Right? Like, again, a lot of us, because I've fallen into that trap as a podcaster, we just get anyone on and we're like, hey, what do you want to talk about? Let's just talk about that. And it's like, well, no, let's have a little bit more empathy for our audience. Let's actually take them through a framework, you know, in a way that makes sense to them and that is actually valuable for them, and come up with the topics first and then find your guests. Mm. And so an example for that, and it's not specific to this podcast, but at Capshavians Live, I had Damon Burden talk about SEO. That's the thing that he just absolutely nerds out on, like literally nerds out on.
Mm-hmm. He knows a lot about SEO.
Yes. And one of the things that came out time and time again when we were talking to Capshavians who were at the event, and we were like, okay, well, what's one thing that just really blew your mind or that you really got so much value out of? And they, like so many people, I've lost count. Mm. So many people were like, when Damon talked about schema, and they were like, schema, schema, schema. Like
Damon, yes, schema, schema, schema.
Exactly. So I was like, oh my gosh, okay, well, we're going to have to go deeper into this. So then I was like, hey, Damon, let's do a masterclass dedicated just to schema.
Mm.
And so we did that. We did that on YouTube, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And so we'll leave the link to in the show notes for that as well. So if you missed out on that, like, he went deep, but not like in a technical, confusing way. It was in such a, it was like, seriously, even I was following it. And I'm like, I get so overwhelmed by SEO and all the technicalities. It was so good.
Yeah. And I think most people were like, I can't believe I didn't do this sooner. I'm going to do this straight away.
Yeah. It will actually get you results like immediately. So we'll leave the link to the masterclass in the show notes as well. It's completely free. That content idea, i.e. what to say, came off the back of, again, listening to our audience. Coming up, I'd already sort of knew that SEO was an area that we need to lean into as a community. And so I brought someone on, I curated someone who was amazing, who knows his stuff. And then off the back of that, it was like, oh, this piece, this is the thing. Okay, let's do a dedicated masterclass.
Yep.
And now off the back of that, we're actually going to do a challenge because I also, you know, when I was talking to Damon, I was like, well, how do we help people bridge the gap between like, oh, I've heard of SEO, like three letters, it means something, to schema. Like there's this whole gap in there of how to actually set up your website, how to set up your content, how to, you know, all the things. Yep. And so we actually are doing, we did a 5-day challenge. Mm-hmm. So again, we'll do replays of them at some point. Yeah. So we'll leave the link to that as well. But it's a literally a 5-day SEO challenge that where he just goes, this is what you do. And then this, and then this, and then this.
Just like, do it. Yeah.
Just do it. And then you'll have yourself set up to actually get discovered on the search engines. It's so cool. All right. So that's kind of like, you know, this is why I love being a curator, because it's like, oh, I get really juiced on just like finding really cool people, giving them the platform or the stage to actually get in front of, you know, my audience, my community, and then doing even more with them, because then you tell me that, hey, this was awesome, I want to learn more about this thing, I can be like, okay, cool, let's do that. Like, let's actually, you know, create more visibility for this person. I love it. I love being a curator.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the great thing is that when you approach it this way, you actually de-risk the effort that you put into it. And, you know, it gives you a hook because you can be like, well, everyone was talking about this schema thing, this is why it's so important, so we're going to do something about it.
And I think that's when you said that, I think the other benefit to that, especially with being a curator, is that if you have a guest that you're like, to your point, you're discovering these gems, people who are amazing, and you're like, more people should know this person. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to, say, market a session or even an episode or a YouTube video off of the person because they might not know who the person is. They don't have the relationship yet. But the topic gives you the hook.
Yes.
And then they fall in love with the person.
Yes.
And then you can continue to do a lot more for your community, and also, to your point, give that person the visibility that they've always deserved as well. So that's a really good, I think, way in which to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's get into the third type of content superpower, because, you know, I have something about being about completeness. I'm like, I need to make sure this is complete. Okay, so the third one is then the investigator. All right, so the investigator, this is the lens I would put onto this, and I am not good at this. I don't have this superpower, I would say. And okay. I really admire people who do have this superpower, because the investigator is really almost like, no matter who you have as a guest, they can make the content so compelling and so good for the audience because of the way that, because of, I guess, the effort they put in upfront to research that person, the effort they put in to think about, okay, well, for my audience, what are the really potent things, really specific things that they're going to care about, as in my audience is going to care about this person. And they take their guests to places that they've probably never ventured before, you know, on an interview. And it's a very specific type of superpower, but oh, so amazing if you have this one.
So powerful.
Yeah, it is so powerful. So for the investigator, like really your starting point in terms of like what to say is really about, okay, who is your guest? And then, you know, in terms of research, listen to other podcasts or interviews that they've done, you know, see what content they've put out there, even if it's for themselves. And how do you bring another perspective to all of that that just has not been raised before? I think I was speaking to someone before, he is an investigator. And, you know, one of the things that he thinks about always when he listens to an interview is like, oh, I wish that the interviewer had asked this question at this point. So he like, when he does that research and he listens to it, then he just banks up these questions of like, oh, I wish we'd gone there instead.
Yes.
Rather than the interviewer then taking it into another path.
That's a really great tip. One thing that's really important for investigators, from what I've noticed as well, is that even if you're to your point, you kind of should be able to speak to anyone because that's your skill set. Having a really strong premise for your content is really important, because then that could almost be the way that I think you filter the guests out. One podcast that does it quite well is the whole premise is around the guest being a friend of a friend.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah. So it's the content itself is a lot broader, but because that's almost like, and then the listener feels like they're listening to people with mutual friends.
Yes.
And it could be the first time the host has met the guest. They could have, you know, met before. But then it just kind of brings that personal angle to it and almost gives her permission not to ask invasive questions, but, different kinds of questions, I think. So having that sort of almost like a mental premise in your head is another way, I think, that you can kind of, you know, either also set up the show, but also take a different line of questioning, which I thought was cool.
Awesome. Yeah, that's okay. So again, that is not my superpower. That never would have, you know, come to
wouldn't have crossed my mind. That's pretty clever. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But okay, so I hope that this helps in terms of, like, you know, when Louise talks about, you've got to really know what to say, because I want to get away from, like, I've been on podcasts. So I know I keep like, I'm trying to think about the best way to say this. I've been on podcasts as a guest myself where I know that the interviewer doesn't really care. And it's not that they don't, it's not even that they don't care about me as a guest, but they actually aren't caring about their audience. And I get that there are some podcasts out there that the whole strategy is, you know, you get a guest on and you're trying to sell the guest your thing, like your service or your, you know, so I know that that's a whole different, another strategy, and therefore you don't care about what, about your audience, let's be honest. But for a lot of us entrepreneurs who are creating content and we're trying to actually monetize our content in a way where we're building an audience to monetize rather than we're just monetize our content through like selling to our guests.
Your example. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we want to care about our audience, right? And so if we're going to care about audience, like, it starts here in terms of understanding what your superpower is and then leaning into it in a way that actually brings value to your audience, right? Like, not to you, not to anyone else, like literally to your audience. Because when you can do that, when you can bring value to your audience, that is when they want to pay you. Let's be honest, right? Because no one's going to pay if they're not getting value.
Totally. Right? As they shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. So this is where it starts. Like, figuring out what to say is actually where making money from your content starts. It's actually where winning the content game starts. Okay, so I'm actually really, really passionate about this more and more, because I know that there are a lot of people out there who aren't creating great content. Not that it's for me to judge, it's more for your audience to judge.
Yeah.
Right. And you're making it very you centric. And when I say you centric, I don't mean you as an expert. I mean you as a content creator. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good.
All right. How's the completeness brain going?
Yeah. I think it's good. Let's really quick. I think we're almost at time, but okay. So I just, my completeness needs to talk about the second lever
that was the one mini completion the three content superpowers. Yes. Yep.
And then the next completion is like, we need to talk about creation. So we talked about what to say. Now, the second lever that Louise talked about is creation. And I just want to touch on the one thing, and that's really about almost the platforms, because I know that he mentioned like part of creation is knowing what platforms you're going to be on. And so we won't go into this in a lot of detail, because, by the way, you can listen to Players Only. We'll leave the link to the show notes, where Bonner and Ash, my significant other, better half. Actually, I'm the better half.
You heard it here.
Yeah.
Firstly, she's the better half and he's actually her significant other, not me.
But also our co-founder. So Bonner and Ash actually on Players Only go really, they actually talk about the behind the scenes of how it is that we here at Cap Show are creating content and actually playing the content game.
Yep.
Hence why it's called Players Only. Yes. Get it?
Yes.
Because we're playing and winning the content game. Okay. We're doing it with you. So I want to talk about when we talk about creation, because for 2024, the one platform that we've really decided to lean into, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs and creators are leaning into, is YouTube. And so I just want to talk a little bit about what it's taken us so far to like get onto the platform and almost like, and when I say taken, I don't mean just from like a technical hours perspective, because there is like a time part to it, but almost the mental focus that it's required. If you listen to the episode, I forgot, I think it's 99 or 100, where it was actually a replay of my talk from Capture Against Live. 99. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I spoke so much about focus, and you'll see, especially if you listen to Players Only, like how important focus is when it comes to actually implementing, and not just implementing in the sense of like, oh, yay, I have a channel now that's visible on YouTube, but actually like implementing something that is working, that's actually getting results. Because remember, we're playing and we're winning the content game. We're here to win. We're not just here to like, I don't know, run onto the field and then say that we kicked a ball and then run off it. Like,
pulled a hamstring.
Yeah. Like, that's not what we're here to do, right? Like, this is the long game that we're playing. So let's talk a little bit, let's touch a little bit on that. But I know that you and Ash will go deeper into players only.
Yeah. And then YouTube does, obviously, you know, it's one of the, like we talked about SEO, YouTube, all of these things do take time. It's not about sort of just publishing for a sporadic period of time. And so, you know, we're still very early in the journey, mm-hmm. which, you know, but I think we've set ourselves up to do this A, the right way, and then do it for a very long time.
Mm.
And then working, I think the definition of working is going to go from like kind of being really consistent, you know, experimenting with a ton of things and then yes. having a baseline and then going, oh, we know this is a baseline for when we just, you know, don't put a lot of effort in and what can we change? What are the different now levers in that ecosystem that we can pull? So really it's taken a lot for us to look at our overall content marketing, like what we're doing with social media, because, you know, obviously it's a limited number of people, number of resources who are all doing these things. So to really create the right amount of time and space between yourself, between myself and Ash to have it as a thing on our plates that we're doing, not yes. just something that, you know, we've just asked the team to do and say it'll do for us to just, I guess, be on YouTube.
Yes.
Working with JP, obviously, now again, you know, an expert that you've curated
yep.
and taking his very, very intimate knowledge of the YouTube algorithm, like not just the platform as a whole, but how the algorithm works and how YouTube as a product works. And really going, oh, okay, these are the things that are actually going to move the dial versus yes. what I thought. Or the 27 things I thought needed to be done. And I was yes. like, we're not ready for YouTube because yes. nobody has time for that. It's actually like these three things, for example.
Yes.
And we go into that in players only. But I think that has been the biggest shift. And then knowing that, we're like, oh, okay, based now on those rules that we understand a little bit better, like the YouTube rules now, the YouTube content rules, like this is what we can do.
Yes.
And now let's do that on yeah. a consistent basis from a creation perspective, like yeah. what we're doing now. Obviously editing, getting all the items ready, and then the amplification on the platform as yes. well. So that's what's super exciting. But you have to yeah. watch players only for all the details.
Ooh, all right. Okay. So that's, you know, when we talk about creation, you know, the things that Louis talked about was like, how do you actually like creating? You know, is it writing? Is it on video? Is it just audio? What are your high energy moments? You know, for us, it's definitely like, let's get it done. When like we're recording this literally in the morning because I'm like, yeah. I think by the end of the day, we're just fried.
Yeah.
Right? Our brains are fried.
After lunchtime is just not good time to yes, record.
Exactly. You know, what platforms are you creating on and how do you lessen the education gap on it? And that's exactly what we're talking about, you know, yeah. right? Like, you know, podcasting is kind of something that we've been doing for the last, gosh, 3-4 years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right? And so now it's like, okay, 2024 is going to be the YouTube year where we like, we have to learn about this platform. We have to, as Louis says, like lessen that education gap so that we can actually have it working for us.
Mm.
And then he also talked about the framework for creating, which starts to go into like process and systems and stuff, which I think he'll go deeper into in next episode as well. But that's the two levers. It's, you know, what to say, which I know we spent a lot of time on, but that's by design because, by the way, as well, like with Capshow, I always say it's like garbage in, garbage out. You know, like the tool is only as good as what you put into it.
If you're creating garbage, rubbish content and
putting that into Capshow, you know, you're gonna get
trash.
Just for the Americans in the audience, when we say rubbish.
Rubbish. Yeah, you can get rubbish out. Okay, so really, really have a think. And I'd love to hear from you, by the way. So again, in the show notes, we'll put a way that you can contact us about this episode. I would love to hear, or even comment below if you're watching this on YouTube, I would love to hear, A, what content superpower it is that you have, and B, given that, do you have to actually change or maybe like transition the way that you are currently creating Ooh. Content? Now, so that it actually serves your audience according to your superpower.
Mm.
I'd love to hear that because, I mean, gosh, I'd love to share those stories, to be honest. So that's like what to say. And then the second thing is about creation is like, where are you creating? Where are you creating? Where do you want to create? And what does that gap actually look like for you? Because, oh, I can tell you, like for us, even learning YouTube, like it's going to be, I would say, a good, like it's multi-month, if not multi-year process mm-hmm. for us.
Yep.
You know, like no one can suddenly grow a channel or a podcast or whatever it is, A, overnight, but B, without actually putting the time and effort into learning it
yes.
and actually making it work for them. Yes. So that's kind of the commitment that we had to, the decision that we had to make given that, those factors, and the commitment that we had to make based on the decision. So what's your commitment? what's the decision that you're making around what platforms you're going to be on and whether or not there is going to be an education gap for you on that. So let us know. Comment below if you're on YouTube. If you're listening to this on audio, then there is going to be a link in the show notes for you to voice memo.
Send a voice message.
Yeah, we'd love to play some on this podcast. So that's it. That's the two profit levers that we went into. Next week, we're going to go deep into the last four that is going to make you money. So definitely join us for that. My name's Deidre Shen.
I'm Bonna Rai.
And stay intelligently lazy.